Indonesian Footy, hosted by me, Sam Wicks,
and me, Tenero Aruna. Each week, we'll bring you Pacific Islander stories from on and off the rugby league and rugby union field.
We'll have plenty of special guests, tales from the past, tackle the big topics of today, and look forward to the next-gen Indonesian Footy stars.
Indonesian Footy.
Indonesian Footy.
Listen to Indonesian Footy on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolale and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wicks. I'm Tongan Australian and I've been subbed off the rugby field and subbed into the radio station and absolutely love sharing stories from our Pacifica sports people here on Radio Australia and TV as well. And as per usual, today I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific who will share the latest local sports news in the island. So let's get to them right now. My first co-host has represented Fiji in football. She's refereed at FIFA World Cups and commentates too these days. We welcome back Finau Vulivuli. Bula Finau.
Bula Finau Kasem. It's a pleasure to be back on this amazing show.
It's always great to have you back on with us. And man, it feels like I haven't been in Fiji for months now. Absolute, I've missed that joint so much. I'll be back there next year, so the draw have told me, I hope, commentating, so it's not too far away. But does your country miss me?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Anything to do with rugby, we're on it. So definitely want the season back on. We want the teams coming back in, and we're looking forward to more games.
No, but what about me? Not just the games, me personally.
Absolutely, we love you here,
calling
Sam,
for
not
me?
To worry about that.
All right, perfect.
You have a lot of fans back in Fiji and in Sudan and around Fiji.
Yes, I appreciate that. Even if you're my only Fijian fan, I'll take that. But not too far away, the draw season. Looking forward to getting back over there. But let's get to my other co-host, who is a sports journalist in PNG. And we're going to say hello and welcome to Jamie Haro.
Hi, Sam. It's great to be back. Another episode. The last time we were on the show was here in Port Moresby, so really great to be back. But, sadly, there in the studio.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to ask the same question as I did to Finau then. Does PNG miss me? Surely, because I feel like I left a massive impact on the people in PNG.
Of course, you guys came here and everyone's like, hey, we know this person is from the Death Pacific Sports Show. So, yeah, they truly miss you.
Okay, I'm loving the sarcasm, so I'll take it anyway. But, big celebrations in PNG this week with the 50th anniversary of PNG's independence. What was the week like? I saw Akon singing there over in PNG. But what was the week like and how did you find it?
Oh, to be honest, I felt a lot of pride, especially when it came to traditionally sharing our culture through the dance and music. Apart from the live concert for Akon, it was about the togetherness of how all the tribes came together to celebrate this special event.
Love it. And we're going to dive deeper into that later in the show. But what was your highlight, though?
To be honest, I actually spent last week playing touch footy and kind of got injured, so.
I feel like I've heard this story before, touch footy and injuries to yourself. Is it the shoulder again?
No, this time it's the knees and elbows. Too much diving. When I want to score a try, I always dive, so.
Well, to be honest, playing on those type of fields, it's probably an easy thing to do, but let's get to what's coming up on the show. We'll also hear from Fijian commentator Asinate Wanikolo, who just covered the T20 World Cup qualifiers.
Bringing their expertise into the tournament, I felt that really lifted the standard and it was welcomed by a lot of the players in the region.
As well as PNG Kumu's legend, John Wagambi. We'll talk about his journey and more.
So I didn't really see any animosity between the New Guinea team and the Papua team. It was a very well contested game, played in the true spirit of the game. I'm sad to say that I can't say the same for the game being played these days. I can't say that.
Plus, there's plenty of news in athletics, cricket, football, basketball, rugby league and union, and our world-class trivia end games. So let's get into it.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, here on Fresh Off the Field, you'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town. It's one that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on. If it's making waves, it will be on the Coconut Wireless. And Finale, let's start with you in Fiji. What have you got for us?
Well, the Coconut Wireless, the big story right now in Fiji is the Pacific Nations Cup. And Fiji faces our flying Fijians team, the national rugby team, faces Japan this weekend in the final. So you know the Pacific, you know Fiji. We love our rugby. So, you know, any level of competition, especially where our men's rugby team is playing, definitely is a lot of following. So that's on everyone's mind, and that's what got everyone talking for now. And definitely, you know, heading into the weekend, everyone will be looking forward to that. And just a background on this, you know, it's been a month now, culminating the final this weekend, hosted out in the United States, in Utah. The Fiji and the Pacific Brothers from Tonga and Samoa played out in Pool A. And in Pool B, we had Japan, Canada, and USA. So six teams played out in this competition. And, you know, we're coming to the final weekend. Fiji is the defending champs, you know, winning against Japan. So this is like a repeat of last year's final, where Fiji won 41-17. You know, both teams, they play well. They got good teams. Fiji currently sits at ninth position in the world ranking, and Japan on 12th position. So there's a lot at stake here, not just the PNC final this weekend, but just, you know, the positions and just trying themselves out. Both teams also qualified for the 2027 World Cup. So, you know, it's about Pacific supremacy, about the prestige that they bring and the pride. Definitely, you know, Coach Byrne, as you mentioned, this time around, even though Fiji were very explosive and had offload brilliance in the semi-final and having nine tries, Coach Byrne, as you mentioned, you know, Japan will be tougher this time around. They'll try to redeem themselves from that loss last year. And we know Japan, they're very precise, they're very disciplined, which is something we saw in the semi-final we kind of lacked and we need to keep on top of. You know, we saw Mesaki Ndonge. He copped a four-match sanction from the World Rugby Independent Foul Play Review Committee following that red card offense in the semi-final against Canada. And we also had Etonia Wanga, who was also seen being in last week's match. But lucky for Wanga, you know, he did not get upgraded. But it goes to show, you know, how important it is for the boys to keep the discipline and doing the small things right, which, of course, with Japan, you never know. You know, we're going into this match stronger and better on paper. Japan are very disciplined and, you know, they're very fast. They can be very elusive. So, you know, it's so important for the boys to continue and keep the game plan. But of course, with wingers Kalaveti Ravovo, who scored his hat-trick last week, and his counterpart and opposite winger Taniela Rakuro, you know, the team will also be looking at them to continue and spearhead the runs this weekend. So, yeah, everyone, it's out on Saturday. In the US, but for Fiji, there'll be like mid-afternoon on Sunday. So I think after the heavy chow and heavy lunch on Sunday, everyone will be sitting around a cover and, you know, gathering with friends and cheering our players on, you know, hoping to maintain this winning streak.
That's what you love to hear. And my mate Mesaki Ndonge is the nicest bloke on and off the field. So it breaks my heart that he's not going to be there for the final. And, you know, Kimmel Valentini, you know, he was a sharpshooter with the boots. I just want to quickly ask, you know, are the Fijian fans liking the style of play for under Mick Byrne?
Yes, I mean, like, he's been successful with Ndrua, you know, bringing them so far, you know, if Ndrua has progressed. And I think Fiji, we love our rugby, but we can also be very critical when everyone becomes the coach and thinks they know everything. But it's important to give, you know, the coaching staff and the expert the time to prove themselves. And I think the Fiji side is doing well so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Mick Byrne is a fantastic human being and wish him all the best in the grand final. But let's get to you now, Jamie. What's the talk of the town in PNG?
Well, the talk of the town here in Papua New Guinea is all about the Intercity Cup, which the finals were played just last week before the independence. The Lisnex Tigers are this year's Intercity Cup champions, or Digicel Action Mobile Cup champs, following a massive 36-16 victory over PRK Mandimorukes. And the LA-based franchise showed impressive prowess at the Santos National Football Stadium on Sunday, claiming their fifth cup title since their last win in 2021. Tigers had the services of experienced players, including PNG Hunters prop Emmanuel Anis, Amon Joel Gene, Carlos Lan, and halfback Mark Alunga, who led them to secure this victory. And this team is fully owned and supported by the Lay Biscuit Company chairman Ian Chow, who was there to celebrate the achievement after the final whistle. So since the establishment of Lay Tigers, this franchise has produced some of the best talents we've seen at the semi-professional level, national and international level. And a living proof of that is Justin Olam, who started his Intercity Cup journey with the Lay Tigers before making it into the Q Cup and then NRL. So a massive win for the Tigers over the weekend. And with this win, there is a possibility that a lot of players will be called up for the upcoming Prime Minister's 13th PNG squad for the matches next month. Also, a potential call-up for the PNG Kumuls ahead of the Pacific Champs. And it also opens a... this win also opens opportunity for a potential... for few potential players to be called up into the Hunters preseason camp, which kicks off around in December. Meanwhile, in the women's comp, the Central Dabaris claimed their first maiden title after a grand final rematch against the Goroka Lahanis. This was under former PNG Orchids captain Kathy Niap, her first win as a rookie coach this year. It was very impressive to watch the growth of women's rugby as well on Sunday, as players will now be eyeing the spot for also for the PNG PM Stettin squad, the women's squad, and potentially a call-up for PNG Orchids for the upcoming Pacific Championship in PNG late next month.
Yeah, big congratulations to both of those teams. Entertainment was on the field. But what about the rock star reception for David Mead and, you mentioned, Justin Olam coming in on a helicopter? Like, that's, I don't think the Prime Minister probably would even get the helicopter in for a game like that. But what were your thoughts around that?
Look, David Mead and Justin Olam are iconic PNG Kumuls legend. They're not just PNG Kumuls legend, but when you talk about NRL, they are the pride of Papua New Guinea. You know, they've set that standard there for NRL. That's after Marcus Bai. So to have them do that grand entrance, you know, it's... I can't put it into words right now.
It was very special, and both great human beings. And yeah, rugby league, it is a religion over there in PNG, and we'd love to see more and more, especially with the Prime Minister's 13th game coming up. But thank you so much for filling us in on what's flying around on the Coconut Wireless, Finale and Jamie.
Join Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow for Nisha Daily every weekday morning on ABC Radio Australia.
I think we need to go to Rarotonga, guys.
Yeah, I think December sounds like a good time.
Favourite part is the fact that the pool comes right up to your room.
Okay, oh, first of all, that's okay. Not great for me. No, I don't be navigating space as well. Yeah, I'm in the pool.
Just trip over, a crab will land in your mouth, you'll be fine.
Wow, I think I'm going to find some other friends to go
Nisha with. Daily, weekday mornings from 7 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And Finale, what's caught your eye in Fiji?
Well, just on the local sports scene in the football space, Tailevu Naitasiri Football Club, they've been promoted since last weekend. They played that match and won against Sianganga in the Senior League playoff in Lambasa. And they now have been promoted to the Premier Division. Yeah, they won 1-0 in that match, and that's all you needed, that one goal. And Tavua have now been relegated from the Premier Division. Their lone goal came in the 40th minute from Jason Dow. Again, this is a high school student who is also in the under-17 extended squad for the FIFA Under-17 World Cup later in the year. And, you know, congrats to this football club. Tailevu Naitasiri is one of those districts, you know, they do the little things right. They have good development programs, and you see a lot of players. You know, they get scooped up by the bigger clubs, but they're definitely contributing to the football in the country. And, you know, they won despite the absence of two key players due to the national commitments. And the head coach, Shabnil Prasad, you know, he praised his squad despite those two key players missing. Their resilience and determination was so evident, and, you know, allowed them to come away with the win, and they're looking forward to next season. And, you know, again, like I mentioned, this is one team that that is often made up of high schoolers in both the men's and women's team because they don't have enough players. But their development is so good, and they, you know, always bring up those prominent players who get scooped up. They might not have be the most financially resourced club, but, you know, they always produce consistent, exceptional players, and these players are always driven by passion. We have the likes of Sakre Mbale, Magwan Gounder, Mohamed Nazil, Chone Salona. These are some prominent names we have in the local scene, and not just for the men's division, even the women's division. We have a lot of them coming up and, you know, being scooped up by the Rewa Women's FC. Andy Mbakadinideva, a prominent name here in Fiji in the women's division. She's in the national team, and she came out of the same club, Tailevu Naitasiri. And she went on to captain the Fiji Women's FIFA Under-20 World Cup team to Colombia. So that goes to show how important this team has been for most of us in the football scene. It's great to see them, you know, qualify and come up to the next level. And like I mentioned, yeah, Tavo Naitasiri has been relegated, and Tavo has been relegated, and Tailevu Naitasiri coming up, and they're definitely looking forward to the next season.
Nice. And how about from across the Pacific? What have you got for us?
The ICC Women's T20 World Cup EAP East Asia Pacific Qualifier. And it was hosted here in Suva from Tuesday last week, the 9th. And it just finished off on Monday, the 15th, where we saw the finals between Vanuatu and PNG. There were 8 teams in this competition all the way from Asia. So it was nice to, have all these women cricketers converge here in Suva and just watch the beautiful game being played out. In Pool A, we had Fiji, Cook Islands, Vanuatu, who were the favorites. And Indonesia. In Pool B, we had PNG, Japan, Samoa, and the Philippines. Philippines participating for the first time. And, like I mentioned, it's in the Pacific, and, you know, even in Fiji, the sport is not that prominent. But to see it slowly grow and, you know, see the teams come in and perform to their best, it's good, it's great to see that women are, you know, diversifying in other sports and just coming out to play, that there's a platform for them. At the end, Philippines won their first game in the 7th place playoff, and it was a history for them, and you should have seen the reaction. They were so happy, even though winning at that 7th position, they won by 4 wickets, and it was a historic moment for them. In the 5th position, Fiji won by 5 wickets against Samoa. And again, that even though they won, they were in 5th position, it was an achievement for them because they entered the competition ranked at 7th. But the finishing off of 5th for them was a good achievement. And as they, as the coach mentioned, now they look up to the Pacific Cricket competition. And then in the bronze medal playoff, we saw Indonesia winning by 8 wickets. And finally, in the gold medal match, you know, even though Vanuatu against PNG, Vanuatu came in as the favorites, PNG took it away, and I think everyone was also happy because it was the eve of the Independence Day. So there was like that extra special reason to win, and you can see that they played with conviction, and they took out, you know, beating Vanuatu with 9 wickets. And some of the favorites you have now, Vare, who was also the player of the match, you know, she was exceptional with 57 runs, and she was also the player of the match for the final. And you had the captain, Brenda Tau, you know, adding that 39 runs. They were definitely coming for that win, stepping in the day, even though they had lost one during the pool matches. When they came in the day, you could see the conviction in them. And, you know, I think for everyone, it was just great to see, them winning that on the eve of the Independence Day. It was a happy moment. And as mentioned by the coach as well, you know, it was a great gift to give back to the country.
Did you get down there to have a watch of any of the games?
Yes, I did. On Tuesday, on the first day, and a bit on Saturday, and on the final day.
And what was the atmosphere like at Albert Park?
It was great. I mean, like, I think with cricket, there's not a lot of following, but it was great to see, like, some of the schools, they came out and all of that, but the atmosphere was just good. Everything was set up, and, you know, I think because it was also set up in Albert Park, which is, you know, quite central in Suva, you just had all the general people coming around to watch, you know, see what was happening. But the atmosphere was definitely great.
So just on that with Albert Park, I've been there. Was the boundary long enough? Because I'm thinking of all the cars parked around the side and that people there. I'm just thinking, if anyone going for a big six in T20, did any of the cars get damaged?
I think it was okay.
It was okay?
Like I mentioned, like, yeah, they were long enough.
Okay, awesome.
They were long enough. And I think, like, it's a sport that is growing, and I'm sure in the future they'll probably have to extend it as, you know, bettors get get the more strength and all that. But they had two games happening simultaneously, and it was enough space.
Okay, fair enough. All good. But, hey, Jamie, before we get to your stories, was there some love for the PNG Lowers cricketers that won last week?
Yeah, look, cricket is massive, and especially in Hanobada, I'm sure the whole village is celebrating right now for our national team. We're really happy. The last time Vanuatu and PNG played, Vanuatu won the qualifiers, so it's good to see Papua New Guinea come on top in these qualifiers, and they will represent us in the global qualifiers coming up soon.
Yeah, love it. But let's stay in PNG. What have you got for us here for the sport that's happening there?
All right, we'll talk about athletics now. Just news in, 9 Papua New Guinea athletics have been selected by the Oceania Athletics Association to represent Team Melanesia at the 2025 Oceania Cup in Nuku'alofa, Tonga. The 9 athletes include the new Pacific Sprinkin, Pai Swissel, who will be running the 100 and 200 meter for Team Melanesia. And he's among 5 other PNG male athletes, which includes top hurdler Daniel Bao, Jetus Robinson, Caro Iga, Lucas Osida, and Lakona Gerega. And the female athletes include Scholastica Herman, Niklin Kalua, and Raylene Kanam. Now, Team PNG coach Brett Green was also named manager of the men's team. Apart from the Fijians also making Team Melanesia, Team Melanesia will be competing against Micronesia and Polynesia, where their athletes were selected also by the Oceania Athletics Association based on names put forward by national federations and taking into account recent performances. Which included the Palau Games, recent Palau Games. Since there are only limited places available and all countries in Melanesia must be represented, it meant that some of our better athletes had to miss out. But on the other hand, there are some events which are quite weak in the region, and therefore PNG athletes have been selected to fill out those spots. So the Oceania Cup is a team competition which each team will compose up to 10 male and 10 female athletes. So it is also understood that there will be also teams from Australia and New Zealand, apart from Tonga and Hawaii, who will compete in this Oceania Cup. So to have 9 of our athletes from PNG to be part of this Team Melanesia is a great deal. And as they will be defending the Oceania Cup title, which was won, I think, 2 years ago.
Can you do me a favor? Can you just say Nuku'alofa, Tonga again? Just the way you said that, can you do that one more time? I really liked the way you said it.
Nuku'alofa, Tonga.
Perfect. And we should give a big shout out as well to Timothy Tuna, who ran last night in the 200 meter heats in Tokyo against Aussie Gout Gout and did PNG very proud running in that event. And let's move on to what else grabbed your attention from across the Pacific.
Some good news for our 3x3 Fiji teams. From the grassroots courts in Fiji to the international spotlight, the Fiji under 23 men's and women's team make their mark today as the FIBA 3x3 under 23 World Cup tips off today in Shenzhen, China. Now, following the historic gold medal performance at the Pacific Mini Games in Palau early July, the same squad have been named. The women's team include Estelle Kaina Molly, Moana Librakes, Renandi Koroi, and Kamari Ravai. Also same for the men's team, Gabriel Tuiva Nuavau, Kinan Hoos, Isaac Sewabu, and Tevita Vosea. All 8 of them remain in the team as they get set for the tip-off tonight. Now, the under-23 women's team plays Czech Republic tonight before facing New Zealand at midnight. And they're pooled with 4 other teams, so they get to play Uganda on Friday or tomorrow before playing Netherlands at midnight. So that's the lineup for the Fiji women. For the men's, Fiji men will meet Latvia tonight, their first match before playing against USA tomorrow morning And then they will meet the host China on Saturday before the last match against Qatar on Sunday. So it's more than a game for these young bowlers who have been actively involved in the sport. Fiji's qualification for the FIBA under 3x3 under 23 World Cup came on the heels, as mentioned, from the Pacific Mini Games, which the tournament was also known as the FIBA 3x3 Youth Nations League Oceania. So the victory secured not only a spot in this World Cup currently set for tip-off tonight, but also a significant increase in the 3x3 ranking points and spot at the Commonwealth Games in Scotland next year. So marking a major milestone for the country and Oceania region. Now, head coach Al Hughes said both teams are ready for the challenge that lies ahead tonight. And yeah, they're just ready to represent the Pacific and Oceania region, apart from our neighbouring countries, New Zealand and Australia.
Love your work, ladies. It's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. And Jamie, I think the dogs are hungry in the background, so make sure you feed them before we get to our next segment. Yes, it is time to play Gyamun Stupwe. It's our version of Pacific Island Poker. That's what we're calling it here, but it is Tok Pisin for Pick the Lie. And each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie. And the other two co-hosts will try to Gyamun Stupwe. And Finau, we're going to start with you in the beautiful home of Fiji. What have you got for us?
And I hope I win this time.
Oh, you hope you win. What, did you this lose last time?
I always lose. Okay, I've seen the... So these are my three. I've seen the Mona Lisa painting. I've swam in the Dead Sea. I've been to Malaysia.
Well, you've come prepared here. That's straight out the gates. And I'm still trying to type my T-Rex typing fingers here. It's not working. Can you just say them again? So I've seen the Mona Lisa.
I've seen the Mona Lisa. I've swam in the Dead Sea. And I've been to Malaysia.
Oh, man, you really want to win this one today, don't you? Okay, Jamie, what are you thinking here?
All her options sound very legit, but I will have to choose some because two of them definitely true, one is a lie.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah, I know. So my best guess, I'm guessing, so my best guess is the second one. You've never swam in the Dead Sea.
Well, putting that one in there just makes me feel like you have, because it's real random, really, really random. What's the Dead Sea again? What happens when you swim in the Dead Sea?
You float.
Okay.
It's the lowest point on the earth.
Okay, sweet. I was just making sure. And the Mona Lisa painting, whereabouts is that? Is that in Italy?
Somewhere.
Okay, fair enough. Sorry, I'm trying to fish here for some clues because I've got no idea. But I am going to go with... I'm going to go with you haven't been to Malaysia.
Sorry?
I'm going to change that and say you haven't seen the Mona Lisa.
Okay, so the lie is the last one, I haven't been to Malaysia.
Do you know what? I said Malaysia and I've looked over. I'm going to throw my producer Declan under the bus here. He goes, now go the other one. Anyway, well done. You've got one. Perfect. Here we go. You've come prepared. I love it. Absolutely love it. But Jamie, you're up next.
All right. So I just made up stuff based on reality. So let's get it. First one, I currently play touch footy with the BSB Touch Footy Club in Port Moresby. Second, I am currently in Kerama Town spending the Independence holiday with my family. And a third one, I am going to attend the FIBA 5x5 Melanesia Cup in Solomon Islands next month. Which one is the lie?
Ooh, another trip. Plan, is it? Okay. Finau, what are you thinking here for these ones? She does play touch footy, but is it with the BSB touch footy?
I'll go with
team?
The second one.
Yeah, you reckon that she's not there in Karama. Where's Karama in PNG?
When you see Xavier Coates wearing that 600 mouth guard, you know that's where I'm from. Karama Gulf. Oh, it's a 5-hour drive outside of Port Moresby.
Okay, 5 hours. Are you driving outside of Port Moresby? You don't have a license. You don't drive. So I'm going to go with number two as well, because you were at the Akon concert. so you wouldn't have time to go and visit your family.
So both of you said the second one?
Yes.
All right. So that's actually true. I'm currently in Karamatown right now, spending the holidays with my family. The first and second one are both true. I do play touch footy with BSP. The lie was the FIBA Melanesia Cup. Unfortunately, I'm not going. I just made it up because I was at the last basketball comp in Palau. So
hey, you made it up because that's the name of the game. You've got to make something up. And yeah, you fooled us. Well done. I thought you were on another trip. But hey, we learn something new every week.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
The NRL finals are here on Radio Australia.
Catches brilliantly, scores the try.
Gets the ball down in the corner
and scores the game-winning try into the post.
Hear them all with the best commentary team in the business.
Right of the year. Launches, plants it down. Oh, what an amazing finish.
Don't miss a minute of the NRL finals.
Rugby league, you beautiful thing.
Right here on ABC Radio Australia, your home of rugby league in the Pacific.
All right, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories. We always love hearing from everyone involved in the game, and each week we hear some chats from people across the Pacific. And Finale, we're going to start with you. Who did you catch up with this week?
This week I caught up with Asinate Waningolo. She's one of the experienced and seasoned commentators here in Fiji. And, you know, I caught up by asking her, you know, what was her experience like commentating on her first international cricket commentary gig here at the ICC Women's T20 Women's World Cup EAP qualifier in Suva.
The experience for me was something totally new. I was grateful to be given the opportunity alongside renowned commentators Daniel, Katie and Julia, who I understand also played cricket for Australia and New Zealand. I think I was very grateful to be able to learn veteran or seasoned commentators who have also, you know, participated in the game. And for me, it was just a new learning experience. And I'm grateful to be given that opportunity. And I really, really enjoyed it. Now, cricket in Fiji and the Pacific is not one of the major sport, and you probably don't get, you know, a lot of opportunity like this. What was the challenge for you coming into this sport in terms of preparation, especially for, you know, something like cricket that you might not be too familiar with on a weekly basis?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Fiji is very lucky to be able to host a huge tournament like this. I understand 8 teams for the first time. For me personally, I'm grateful that I know a bit of cricket because my father played the game and he used to make me watch the game when I was small. I watched people like Wazim Akram, Waka Yunus, as well as Viv Richards, Alan Border, the likes. He made me watch cricket when I was young. So I sort of have a general idea of the way cricket is. But I didn't quite expect that there is a lot of technical terminologies and the positioning on the field, and whether it's a left-handed batsman or right-handed batsman, there are different positionings in the field. So that was something new for me. But I'm grateful that, you know, Peter Longman, the commentary guru, I guess, who helped us along the way. We were doing online. Lessons. He helped us with that, but I think just to really understand the intricacies of the sport has given me a newfound respect for the sport and the way that it's played. And to see the women flourish like they did in Fiji was, I think, the icing on the cake.
Absolutely, it was great to see all the women out there, you know, doing what they love best. You know, coming into this competition, you probably would have viewed and reviewed some of the footages back in a couple of years ago, and just the experience and what you viewed from what they showcased over the weekend. Your views on the standard of cricket in the region?
Yeah, I mean, I was just, I have a lot of respect for the women who play the sport. I mean, the hours that they spend playing the game. I mean, as far as the commentary is concerned as well, I have a lot of respect for those who are in the space. I mean, I think it's like 3 hours a game. That's not something that you usually do in a commentary space.
But just seeing the level of the players that were coming in, particularly like we had the likes of Gabby Sullivan, the captain for Cook Islands, who has, you know, been part of the New Zealand cricket squad, Tabitha Saville, as well as Rachel Andrew, Saville from Fiji, and Rachel Andrew, the captain of Vanuatu, and a lot of other players who have sort of had that BBL experience in Australia, bringing their expertise into the tournament. I felt that really lifted the standard, and it was welcomed by a lot of the players in the region because they get to gauge themselves against these experienced players, and the fact that they have that kind of experience bringing it into the tournament, I think just sort of lifted the standards as well.
Thank you. And, you know, I believe it was also broadcasted quite widely. What is your biggest takeaway from this experience and, you know, your message out there for those who probably were watching in, for younger girls watching in from around the region?
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from this tournament is not only the opportunity to actually do a commentary and have a lot of respect for those who are in this space and who do who clock the sort of mileage or the hours that they do in that space. But, you know, I've been grateful for new experiences, having the opportunity to step out of my comfort zone. I'm also grateful to the biggest takeaway I have as well is seeing the way that the women, the way that they have really performed over the course of the tournament, seeing the standard of cricket in our region, and that we need a lot more tournaments like this just to continue to lift the standards. I think that's been the biggest takeaway. And, I mean, we've been treated to some awesome cricket all throughout the course of the tournament. I'm very grateful for the experience.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Hey, just on commentary, how hard is it to commentate on a sport, like a new sport that you're not sort of familiar with?
Yes, I think it can be a challenge, but, you know, she was lucky. We have Peter Longman, who's one of the ABC trainers, who was able to do some online training with them, building up to the tournament itself. And I think in this day and age with, you know, a lot of digital stuff available, it's much easier compared to, I think, the senior commentators when they started back in the days.
Big shout out to Pistol Pete. He's the man. He helped polish myself and Tinidao up a little bit for Nijan footy. Great man. And just on that, what's probably the hardest sport you've had to commentate outside of football?
I would say athletics. So many things that's happening. And so it's not like just one sport and one rule. If you're doing athletics, there's like so many things happening all at once. You go from, you know, the throws to the jumps to the track and everything and all in between.
Fair enough. But lucky you're a very skilled commentator and you made light work of it. So I'm looking forward to hearing more and more of your stuff and going into many other sports as well. So thank you so much for that. And now let's get into Jamie. Who did you speak to this week?
Well, this week has been a special one for PNG as we celebrated our 58th Golden Jubilee since 1975. So in line with this special occasion, I had the opportunity to chat to one of our very own PNG Kumul's legend, John Wagambi, and I asked him about his journey into rugby league, and this is what he said.
I started my representative career in the under-9 Storm division, and I represented Medellin. We went up to Koroka during the school break in June, and they were Leh, Mount Hagen, Goroka, Medeng, and Rabaul. So Rabaul, during those days, they had this, the Australians sponsored some smart Papua New Guinean kids to attend Rabaul High School. But basically, they're like mixed race and Chinese and all those kind of people that came. So we played this championship in order for a under-9 stone Papua New Guinea team to be selected to go down to New South Wales and play the New South Wales school boys. Port Moresby didn't send a team, but they had about 8 representatives in there. Medellin was the second half, 7. So I didn't make it, unfortunately. And Stephen Malum was the fullback for the under-9 stone. And from Port Moresby, as a comrade called Wikiang Si, mixed Scavian and Chinese. And from this team, only myself and Stephen made it to the Commons, unfortunately. And the rest fell off. So that's basically the beginning of my rugby league career.
How did those places you've mentioned shape your initial interest in rugby league?
I went across, when I finished school, I went across to Bougainville Copper. I went to train as an auto diesel mechanic, and I spent 3 years there to finish my apprenticeship. So I started work at Bougainville Copper in 1973. In 74, we affiliated to New Guinea Islands League, and therefore we had these intra-zone trials. In that era, we would attend a zone selection team for New Guinea side. And then we would play the Highlands, NGI, Northern, and they'd select a New Guinea team to play Papua. And of course, Papua would be based out of Port Moresby. And so I was selected as one of the foundation members of the Bougainville team to represent Bougainville in the intra-zone and then New Guinea Islands. So that's where I started my senior representative career. We played New Guinea versus Papua here. So that was during the era. I believe there was a riot after we played in Medang. It was okay, good. But in Port Moresby, I believe there was a riot, and therefore they seized the Papua versus New Guinea. So in 1975, when I was doing my final at Bougainville, I was selected to represent the Kumuls as a reserve. I was playing hooker then.
Now, at what age did you first started playing organized rugby, and which league was it in?
Okay, as I said, the juniors, I was young. I guess organized league, I was 17 when I played the school boys under 19. When I was 20, that's when I started to represent the seniors in the New Guinea side and the New Guinea Islands.
What was your experience like playing in your early days under the Nine Stone, which you've mentioned, schoolboys rugby league team, and how did that help you shape your game?
With the schoolboys, you know, even though we came from different regions, and of course, Islanders, with due respect, usually known for this really, you know, early, very rough stuff. But in the schoolboys days, there's no such thing. It was a very good competition. And I'm sad that colleagues of mine who represented the zones, they never made it to the Pumas. It's very sad. And I think it's because the PNG Rugby Football League didn't put too much focus into the schools league. Because the schools league is the foundation for the senior league. And, you know, it's good that with the NRL bid, we are starting to have it in place now. So it's probably better late than never.
Can you share some of the challenges you faced trying to balance your education with your developing rugby career?
Yes, with regard to my education rugby career, I started much later when I went through to university. I was coaching Para Panthers then. I am one of the pioneers of the Diploma in Commerce in UPNG. In 1979, 30 of us started to do the diploma in commerce, and we'd go 5 to 6. Every one of them dropped off except myself. I graduated in 1984 to get my diploma in commerce, and I commenced my degree. I did well in the first semester, but I had an abdominal TB, and I had an operation. So I failed my part two courses, and I was expelled from university. So I spent a year in Lena, and I coached West Panthers. And then I returned to Port Moresby, and I continued my studies. But it's like I had to juggle my coaching career and against my university studies. And I had a family too, and it was tough, but I was determined. And so rugby league is a very good game. Indeed, all sports are very good, because they teach you the dynamics of coexistence. People from different backgrounds, people with different strengths and weaknesses, and you need to co-host the weaknesses, cover up for them. And as a coach, I'll tell my inside center, you got to cover up for the guy on the outside center, who is a bit weaker on defense. So you strategize to ensure that you get the best out of your teammates or your players.
What did the selection mean for you personally and professionally?
Well, that was the stepping stone for me to go up to higher echelons, such as being a Kumul. And therefore, first game we played in Medang, second we played in Port Moresby. So I didn't really see any animosity between the Nguyen team and the Papua team. It was a very well contested game, played in the true spirit of the game. I'm sad to say that I can't say the same for the game being played these days. I can't say that. As you know, there's a lot of issues regarding violence against players, officials, referees, even spectators. I think this should be seriously looked at and just by the PNG Rugby Football League, because rugby league is a very good game. It draws together people from all over the country when you play against other countries, and it unites us, which is good.
50 years ago, Papua New Guinea became an independent nation. In a joint NBC and ABC Radio Australia production, One Country takes you back to that defining moment in history. Meet those who witnessed the birth of a nation and hear how the spirit of independence continues to shape Papua New Guinea today. From tradition to transformation, don't miss One Country, Tuesday at 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
It was a great interview, and I watched that Pacific Sports Show last night, the one-hour special celebrating 50 years of independence in PNG, and you're a big part of that show, and you got to speak to some absolute legends that changed the landscape of sport in PNG. What was your highlight out of that? Did you watch the show? But what was your highlight out of interviewing all those legends?
It was a privilege to interview all these legends and being able to watch how they shared those pivotal moments of how it felt winning while representing Papua New Guinea. And, John Wagambi being one of the first Kumuls since 1975, Ryan Pinney winning Commonwealth gold medal, even Gewata winning our first Commonwealth Games gold medal. It's very special for Papua New Guinea, and especially after the show was aired one day after independence. It means a lot for us and the growth of sports here in Papua New Guinea.
You know, when I think about how the people love guys like Justin Olam and David Mead, like where does John fit within that with the people of PNG recognising him and worshipping what he did?
When you look at now the trend of having our NRL stars, like as you mentioned, David Mead or Justin Olam, even now Xavier Coates, Alex Johnson, to name a few, we also reflect on Marcus Bai's, NRL premiership winning moments as well. John Wagambi, I would say he's one of those first Kumuls that set the foundation for our national team, and the rest became history. It's like every year the team started changing and it built up to where it is now. And Papua New Guinea being the toughest, one of the strongest team, not just in the Pacific, but also in the world.
Yeah, well, make sure you watch the show. It's a one-hour special of that Pacific Sports Show there in PNG with myself, Michael Chow, and, of course, Jamie Huddle. If I do say so myself, we did an amazing job capturing all the sporting legends, current and past legends in PNG who did some amazing work in sport for the people of PNG. But as always, thank you so much, Finale and Jamie. Some wonderful stories of our amazing sport and talent from across the Pacific.
The Pacific. It's our home and what connects us all.
Thousands of islands, all with a unique story to tell.
Hi, I'm Alice Lolohea.
And I'm Johnson Ryder.
Join us every week to watch The Pacific.
And hear from dedicated journalists throughout the region bringing those stories home to you.
All the latest from the places we love.
The Pacific.
Because what matters here matters everywhere.
Watch Thursdays on ABC Australia.
Fresh off the dome.
All right, before we go, we do like to play Quizmaster and test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific. And every week I'll ask three questions. Finau and Jamie, they'll use their name as the buzzer. And, of course, if you think you know the answer, play along at home as well. Shout your name out and have a bit of fun. So let's play Fresh off the Dome. Ladies, are we ready?
Yes.
Ready.
That's not the energy I was looking for, but we'll get there. I'm sure we'll warm into it. But let's go. Question number one. The Under-17 Pacific Nations Challenge AFL competition took place in Cairns over the weekend. On the male side, the Nauru Stars played the PNG Benetangs in the final. Who won?
Jamie.
Go, Jamie.
Sorry, could you repeat it again? I can't really hear the question.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to say that that's an excuse. I've got to go with Jamie because she did get in.
To be honest, I didn't actually watch the weekend game, but I always know that when it comes to junior AFL, PNG and Nauru are very tough. So my best guess is Nauru. I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologise because you did get the answer right. So well done. There you go. That's 1-0 for now. I'm just going to just check. Is your audio working there for you to hear these questions? It's crucial that you do not lose 3-0. Can you hear me for now?
Yeah, a bit.
All right, for now. I think there might be some technical difficulties on your end. So just, I just want you to do your best and just jump in, just say your name and I'll repeat the question. All right. Even if you don't hear it, just go, yep, say your name and I'll give you a chance here. So let's go to question number two.
It's not connecting today.
That old Fiji Wi-Fi. How good. Another 17-year-old here. How good's this? 17-year-old Kiribati runner Kanaz Kaniwete competed at the World Athletics Championships in Tokyo this week and ran in what event? This is multiple choice. Is it A, the 100 metres, B, the 200 metres, or C, the 400 metre?
Finau.
Oh, Finau. Did you hear the question? Do I need to repeat it or are you 100. Just jumping in? Oh, the 100. Well, hey, you got it right. Perfect.
Oh.
It's one all. He ran an amazing 11.10 in his heats. He already has the national record for Kiribati with 10.91. He has a big future ahead for the youngster, so big congratulations to him. Well done. It's here we go. One apiece. This is question number three. Big boy Sanale Mao won a gold medal and set two Commonwealth and two Oceania records at the weightlifting championships in India this month. Which country does he represent?
Jamie.
Go
What's
for it,
name
Jamie.
Again? Sorry?
His name is Sanale Mao. But I'll go with you, Jamie, because you got in there.
Okay. No multiple choice?
No, we're just gonna go tit for tat. So if you get it wrong, then I'll go to Finau. If she gets wrong, then I'll come back to you. Okay, so that's okay. We'll change things up a little bit.
I'm taking a wild guess on this. I have to go with Fiji.
Ooh, Fiji? Yeah. No, that's not the one. That's not the one. There, I've got your hopes up. But Sanale, is that a Fijian name? Anyway, let's go to you, Finau. We can rule out Fiji.
Samoa.
Oh, what a wild guess, and that is the correct answer.
Oh.
And there it is. The Fijian Flyer has won not only gum and stopware, she's won fresh off the dome. How good. Tell me you're excited over there in Fiji.
It's a history-making moment for me.
And that's what we're here to do, create history-making moments for our co-host. And what about the name, Big Boy Sanale Mao? That's amazing. He does lift a bit of tin, that's for sure. But people, that brings us to the end of our show this week. A big thank you to my co-host, direct from Suva, history-making champion, the Fijian ex-footballer and referee, Vinaka Vakalevu. Finau Vulivuli.
Vinaka Vakalevu, Sam.
He did all right for the audio not working. Great job, great job. But anyway, should actually say thank you to our other co-host, the person that didn't win, sports journalist in PNG. Thank you, True, Jamie Huddle.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you, Finau.
It was very exciting, and thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.